Hey, welcome back to 15 Minutes with Frank. My name is Frank, and I'm so glad you're going to spend just 15 minutes with me talking about student ministry and all that stuff. Again, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, go on YouTube, and subscribe to the videos. And always, you can go to my website, frankgill.me, and click on the blog to find all the show notes and all the details from everything you hear about this podcast. Hey, it's been such a fun time, again, hearing you guys' responses. I'm going to add something to this now. I want you guys, if you are on YouTube watching this video, maybe in the description, or if you're listening to this podcast, go over to frankgill.me and sign up for a mailing list, an email list. I'm going to make an email list, and I want to kind of give you guys some inside scoops about stuff. One, I want to be able to kind of remind you guys about the podcast when new shows come out, but also I have some ideas, some tricks up my sleeve that I feel like I want to share with y'all, and I figured what would be the easiest way to kind of give you guys some like insider privileges for listening to this podcast, for watching these videos, by setting up for a mailing list. So head over to my website, frankgill.me, and under every episode, there'll be an opportunity to kind of sign up for a mailing list, and I will be sending your way some kind of insider secret stuff for you to be able to kind of have some privileges for being a podcaster, listening to podcasts and watching these videos. It's just been awesome, just kind of this community that's been having, I've been having by sharing all these ideas I've had with you and talking about what I did in student ministry and you know, getting messages on Facebook, getting emails. It's been super encouraging. Well, let's talk about what I did last Sunday night in my youth group. It was a fun one. I just got back from a long weekend in South Carolina, so I was able to finally come back to my student ministry and kind of feel a little bit of a culture shock. I forgot what it was like to be in the South. And after being in Milwaukee for over a year, going back to the South was so different. So be able to come back to Fuse on Sunday night and to kind of be back with my kids was a little bit of a shift in terms of like culture, but it was good to get back into the rhythm of things. So we opened it up with a countdown video that actually my friend Delmar Pete, who's in South Carolina, who brought me into his student ministry for an event they were having. They had this 5-minute countdown with bottle flipping. And so I'm sure it's in your student ministry. It's huge in my student ministry. Kids love to flip bottles. It's wasting plastic. It's wasting water. But the kids are go crazy about it. So I had this 5-minute countdown where Delmar made this video where it's a bunch of highlight clips of people doing bottle flips. If you go on YouTube and type in Delmar Pete, P-E-E-T, I'm sure you'll find his 5-minute countdowns. He has tons of them. They're great. And you can find the bottle flip video. It's pretty fun. And then we did our announcements. And then we played a couple games. We played a game called Turkey Dressing. And so I must have missed the instructions here. So now I have a games guy who kind of picks the games for me and says, hey, go on DYM and download these games. Or, hey, what do you think about this game? And just kind of, he just tells me what to do. And I just put the games into our pro presenter and planning center. And he takes care of the rest. But I missed a huge part. I guess in this game, it's like these different turkey trivia questions. And apparently, if you get the question wrong, we're supposed to dress the person like a turkey. I missed that part. I did not see that part in the instructions. I just thought, like every other trivia game, you put it on the screen, people answer questions. And so the game had these like extra slides where it's like, now add, like feathers, add this, add that. And I totally missed that. Besides, the game was really fun. Our kids loved it. The best part is at the end, as like a tiebreaker, we had the students kind of act like a turkey, and the one that acted like the turkey, the best one. And the trivia was really, really like specific turkey trivia. We had some kids who I guess gone turkey hunting before, so they knew all the answers. But it was a fun game, despite the fact that like I missed like reading the instructions or something. But that's fine on DYM. And the other game we played, so I was, like I said, I was in South Carolina, and they did this with like over 200 kids, this finger jousting game. You probably have seen it before, maybe. These kids, like, they have like an L shape in their finger, like almost like they're like holding like a gun like, in their hand, and they like connect hands like this, and you have to push the fingers, you have to push the other person's hand to touch their like arm or chest or whatever, and it was so much fun. I'll put in the show notes on my website some of the links of the Instagrams that we posted. They were actually Snapchats that we posted on Instagram. Our kids absolutely thought it was so much fun. They were going crazy with like rolling over on the floor. They were super into it. This is the kind of game, kind of like head, shoulders, knees, cup. Remember if you were there in that era when we played that game, this is the kind of game where like you can always play and it will always have fun. And what we did do is we separated guys and girls because we didn't want guys poking girls in inappropriate places or vice versa. And had like I had a tournament style. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you lose, you sit down. If you win, you find someone else to keep going. And at the end, the winner of it all goes against a leader. And so I was the boss level for the guys, apparently, and I won. So it was so much fun. I went on Google and just type in finger jousting, and there's this like actual like finger jousting World Federation thing that was I found online. I used it as a logo and it worked out really, really cool. Worked great. So like I've said before, after games, we're trying to transition well into our worship time, and the only way I figure out how to do that is by showing these transition videos. And so what I showed is actually another video from Del Mar Pete and Company. It's this video, a spoken word video that he had one of his students do called Grace Over Deeds, and it was super good. It's like this 16-year-old girl just espousing like just truth and theology, and it was beautiful. It was well made. I'll put that in the show notes. You can show it in your student ministry. It was a good transition from the game time over into worship time. So our worship leader, he played three songs. He played Build Your Kingdom Here, All the Poor and Powerless, and Jesus, We Love You. It was a great time. We actually captured a really beautiful time of three sixth grade girls singing on Snapchat, and it was a really good time. And then we got to our message, and we're in a series called Why I'm Not a Christian. And so it's an apologetic series where we're addressing the answers of what people are saying, why they don't believe in Jesus. And so this has been a challenging one because we're asking really, really honest and vulnerable questions that, if we're honest, doesn't put Christianity in the best light, right? Like, we are exposing, like, we're showing our students the skeletons that are very real that Christians should not be proud of, and showing them, like, kind of, what's the answer to this? What's the solution to this? And so last Sunday's topic specifically was, how can you believe in a God that's allowed his followers, Christians, to do such terrible things in his name, right? So we talked about the Crusades. We talked about the Inquisition. We talked about the Salem witch trials. We talked about like how, like, you know, in the South there was Christians, the churches who separated from churches in the North because back in the day, like, they wanted to keep slaves or segregate blacks. And it was, you know, we talked about those things. We talked about the fact that there's people who say they're Christians who like bombed abortion clinics, or people who say they're Christians who hold signs outside of big events that say God hates fags and God hates whoever. And like, you know, we talked about the fact that there's Christians who've done terrible things. But then in light of that, we used like good apologetics to say, well, first off, Christianity is not the only people who have failed to love others, and that is inconsistent or hypocritical with the values and the morals of their religion. And we also talked about the fact that, like, even secular people, like non-Christians, like atheists, agnostics, like nations and thought groups have done horrendous atrocities throughout history, and they were, you know, they castrated God out of it. And so we talked about that, and then we talked about the fact that we can't deny the fact that also Christians have done so much good stuff, as in we've brought, you know, advances in healthcare. We've brought, like higher learning education has been brought to us a lot by many Christians throughout history. And then we talked about MLK. We talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We talked about William Wilberforce, who are all these men, godly men and women who stood in the gap to fight injustices in our country and around the world. And so it's been really, really good. And the small group time has been very, very rich in discussion, answering the questions that like their friends have asked them or they've heard from other people. And so one thing I've been getting a lot from you guys is asking me, like, hey, will you ever put this in the store? Will you ever give us your notes? And so let me explain something about this. Is I actually had this, I believe, in the Youthman store many years ago. And I took it down. One, because so when I first wrote this series, I wrote it 2 years ago in my last youth group. Same questions, same topics. But I wrote it almost as if it's like a collegiate level. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I thought maybe my kids were really, really smart and could handle it. But like, I was writing like 45-minute sermons, nailing every single point of the sermon, and like really, really heavy topics. And as I was reviewing my notes this year for this student ministry, completely different context, I realized that like my kids will not be engaged in this. I mean, if I'm honest, this sounds boring. And this sounds like something I wouldn't want to listen to, even if I'm an adult. Like, I want something that's a little more engaging, something fresh, something that, like, can I laugh at least once in your message, you know what I'm saying? So I really wanted to make an effort to rewrite my messages where I still had the same truth and the same points that I wanted to come across, however, in a way that's more contextual to my context as well as more engaging, something that's interesting to listen to. And so I asked some friends. There's a friend of mine in California named Justin Knowles, and he was doing a series very similar to what I was doing. I asked him, hey, can I see your notes, or can I just get any resources that you've been using? And he showed me to this book called Can I Ask That? And it's by Sticky Faith. And it is so, so good. I bought the leader version and I bought the student version. And I've been reading it, and it is so great. Like, what I love about it is they're answering these really, really heavy questions, but writing them and answering them in such a way that students can understand. Like I think middle schoolers can get this. You know, if you're walking along with this, I mean, I kind of wish that we could maybe do a small group time where we go through this book with students, but you know, going through it as a large group has been great. And what's great about this book is it has small group questions that you could use. So after I preach, kids go into small groups with their leaders, and this book has given me small group questions that are really, really good, more than just yes or no answers. To dive into these topics even deeper. It's been really, really good. So I suggest anybody that's ever wanted to do an apologetic series, grab this book. It is gold. It is so rich. I mean, and then, by the way, they're not paying me. Like, I bought this book, and I wish to. Hey, Sticky Faith, if you're watching this video, I live in Milwaukee. I can give you my PayPal address. Anyways, this is so good, guys. This is so great. It has charts, it has these like conversations that are like real life conversations that students would have, and the questions are wonderful. So yeah, like I think if I ever do another project series again, and maybe next year or something, I'm gonna come back to this book and look at the other questions they've asked and dive into this, because this book has been so valuable than any other kind of resource on the projects I've had when it comes to students. It doesn't answer everything, so don't expect it to be comprehensive, but get it to the point where like it answers the questions sufficiently, where students can walk away confident in what they believe, but in a way that still leaves them saying, okay, if I want to know more, there are other resources out there. You can get a Norman Geisler book. You can get a Ravi Zacharias book. But this right now will get you to where you need to go in student ministry to ask those questions, to get those kids engaged. This book, Can I Ask That?, has been great. And so after we did the message, we had small group and so one thing I want to kind of talk about, I don't know about your context, is obviously Donald Trump became president or has been elected as president, and it is what it is. And I don't know where you stand on this. I don't know if you voted for him, you didn't vote for him, you didn't vote at all. That's your prerogative, and I'm not here to make any kind of statements on that. You know what I'm saying? That's not the right forum for this right now. But what I do want to talk about is this. So in Milwaukee County, it's been pretty volatile. Like there's been not riots, but there's been protests. And like I was going through my Snapchats of the students, and like when he got elected president, almost all my students were like kind of lamenting about it. And so to kind of give you some insight of my context, mostly minorities, multi-ethnic, multi-economic, and so I mean pretty much the constituents that would not be voting for Trump in this election. And regardless, like there are people in my church who probably voted for Trump, and so like our church at large is very, very diverse. But in our student ministry context, there's a somberness when it came to the fact that he was elected. And so I never preached about the election. All we said was we're going to pray for the candidates. We're going to pray for whoever wins. And then after he got elected, I have a couple leaders who are teachers of my student ministry, and they've kind of given me some kind of insight of what's been going on in the schools. And it's been pretty bad. There's been fights. Students are being expelled. Kids are saying heinously racist and insensitive stuff to other people. And it's really like broken my heart to hear all this kind of stuff. And I've been seeing my students kind of talk about what they've been experiencing and thinking about. And so, like I said, regardless of what you view on this or how you feel about Trump, that's not the point. My point is this is, Saturday night, I was watching SNL because Dave Chappelle was hosting, and Dave Chappelle is this like iconic comedic legend, and I was really interested to see, he's been gone for like 10 years, what he was going to do when he came back, and he spent a lot of time talking about Trump, and in his opening monologue, which was like 11 minutes long, a really long monologue, the last 3 minutes, he says some of the most interesting and I would say encouraging words I've heard from anybody in this whole process. Basically saying to a sense of like, I hope he does well, because we need him to do well, and I hope he, you know, pretty much unifies everybody, and I hope he gives the disenfranchised, minorities, those who didn't vote for him a chance as well. And it was a very like serious but like well worded, like, you know, 3 minutes that I was so moved by it that it caused me to reflect on what I would like Fuse to be like for students. And so I took some time on my phone, on my flight back. What are 3 things I want Fuse to be? This isn't like a mission or vision, but just like in light of what has happened in our country, as I know what's going on in our schools, what do I want Fuse to be like? Because I can't control what happens in the schools. I cannot control what happens in the streets or in the homes, but I can control what happens in the four walls of my student ministry. So therefore, what do I want Fuse to be like? So I literally wrote on my phone 3 things that I want, and I kind of explained this, and I did this to my leaders. So when my leaders came in, I showed the 3-minute clip I wanted from the Dave Chappelle skit, and the monologue, and I said these 3 things that I wrote down. I said, I want Fuse to be a place where students feel safe in the truest sense. And what that means is that lowbrow conversations, gossip, slander, and bad speech will be unacceptable. So we have to like really monitor, like, let's not allow gossip to run rampant in our student ministry. Let's not allow lowbrow humor where we just condescendingly tease each other to run rampant in our student ministry. We want Fuse to be a place where kids feel safe. In order to do that, we have to, as leaders, be the champions on helping our kids get to the place where kids feel safe. The second thing I say is I want Fuse to be a place where girls feel equal to boys in value and worth. And that means we give girls real opportunities to lead in every single way in our student ministry that we have the boys lead. And then we also said that we also want to teach our boys to respect and honor our girls in both speech and action. And so we're encouraging our male leaders to kind of be an example and to teach our boys how to respect and honor girls, that we're not going to say inappropriate comments about girls' bodies or take advantage of girls, but love and honor them like the sisters in Christ they are. And then the third thing I says, I want Fuse to be a place where you can feel welcome no matter your race, background, or economic status. And so what I said by that is that means to be mindful in the ways we plan events. So like, I just know I can't plan a summer camp that's going to cost $600 a kid. That's just that would marginalize 75% of our kids. So every single event we do, we need to make it affordable and be mindful of the students who can't afford camp or other events typically. I said that I also want Fuse to be a place. So we need to be careful about how we talk about different locations in Milwaukee. So the areas that's very urban and maybe mostly has so the places that are like very urban that mostly African Americans or Hispanics live, to not talk about those places in derogatory ways, like that's the hood or the ghetto or like that's where thugs and, you know, like we have to be mindful of how we talk about all these different areas all throughout Milwaukee. In the same way, when we talk about the suburbs or the more affluent areas, that we don't describe them as yuppies or people who, like, you know, are snobbish. Like, we have to be mindful, like very careful about how we talk about these different areas, because any generalization can lead to marginalization of people, and we don't want that to be in Fuse. And then the last thing I said is this, and this is just a statement. I said, if Jesus is for everyone, so Fuse is for everyone. I don't want there to ever be a student where they say, this youth group isn't just for, it's just not for me. Like, I don't fit in. That should never be stated. I want every kid to feel welcome in the student ministry. How that's going to be accomplished, I don't know. We're just going to trust God. Those 3 statements is what I came up with as like a practice for our leaders to think about and as to observe as our kids interact and talk, and I hope we can accomplish that. So anyways, I'm so glad that you joined me for 15 minutes with Frank. I think we went a little over, but we had some important stuff to talk about. I'm glad you're able to be with me. Hopefully you'll join us next week. Remember, subscribe, like, do everything you got to do. Go to the website, follow me on all the social networks. Hey guys, God bless. See you next week.